Oh, right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and this is the West Virginia Surf Report Podcast. Broadcasting today from deep underneath a nondescript home in suburban Pennsylvania. However, the bunker where I record these world-famous, award-winning podcasts, it's completely clean. Tony was out of town this weekend on Saturday into Sunday. She was out of town for like 24 hours. She went and met her sister up in New York somewhere. Ithaca, maybe. That sounds right. She was up there for something. The sister was up there for something. Something to do with her job. She was at an Airbnb, which I have never partaken of in my life. I don't know. I don't like the sounds of it. But anyway. So she went up there, spent the day with her. And then both my kids worked on Saturday night. So I was literally by myself for a long stretch of time. So you know what I used that time for? That's right. I finally finished the bunker. It was hard work. There's a lot of shit in here, you know? And I boxed up a ton of it, took it to the basement. That's just a holding pen down there. We had that dumpster a few weeks ago, and we emptied a bunch of stuff out of the basement, and I just put it back. So, I don't know. I got a lot of stuff in here that needs... I boxed up a bunch of books and all these tchotchkes. That word tchotchke, does that start with a T? I don't know. I've had a debate with somebody at work about that a while back. He was convinced it starts with a C, but I said, I don't know. I have this feeling in the back of my head that it starts with a T. He was like, that's ludicrous. That's crazy talk. I said, I don't know. I think that's true. I think it starts with a T. Tchotchke. I don't know. I still haven't looked it up. But I still think I'm right. Anyway, I had a bunch of shit, mostly from my friend Steve. He buys me everywhere he goes. He buys stuff for people. And so he gives me a lot of stuff. It's cool. A lot of it's really cool. You know, I'm not saying anything negative about it. I appreciate the thought. And some of the stuff's really cool, and I display it with pride and honor. But some of it, you know, there's too much of it. So I had to box some of it up, move it to the basement. There's all kinds of stuff, too, that I generated. It's not all Steve. And I had to dust it down. I had to put in this new desk. Now there's like spaces on the wall where, like, I got pretty much the entire wall covered in all manner of crap, you know, like I got stuff pinned up, you know, I got framed stuff. I got some just posters. I have this like thumbtacked up. I got, you know, just a various items. Looks pretty cool. And, so now I got, empty space because that old desk is out of here. So I found the perfect poster that's for the Eels concert I attended a couple of years ago. I stole that thing off the wall, you know. It's perfect. It fits right in there. So that's the last piece I got to put up. And so I just need to find some white thumbtacks, you know. And then I'll put that'll be the final piece of the puzzle. So that's what I did Saturday night. I listened to the Reds lose again. Ah, very painful to me. They have a great team, and I don't know what's going on. They can't get it together. It feels like they're right on the verge of turning a corner and stringing together 6-8 wins in a row. You know, I feel like that they're right on the verge of that, and then they lose 3 in a row. Very frustrating team, but still, you know, I'm a fan. I'm not one of these Atlanta-style fans where you're a fan when the playoffs or, you know, kick off. You know, you don't even pay any attention, you know, all through the season. until the playoffs start. Then you're a super fan. You know, you're out there with your foam finger, you know, and you're telling everybody how big of a, you know. No, I'm a fan through thick and thin, and this is thin, baby. This season's a frustrating season. But anyway, so I listened to the Reds game, and I finalized the bunker. And it was, you know, there was a sense of accomplishment. Then they came back on Sunday, Tony and her sister, they came back. And, you know, Sunday night was taken up with that. We went to that backyard ale house again for dinner. And we went there probably like 4:30, somewhere in that, maybe 5 o'clock, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's sort of like misting rain, you know, kind of rainy, but not, it's not pouring or anything. So we go into the main bar area, and Tony says, where do you want to sit? I said, I'd like to sit out back, you know, if possible, if we can sit out there without getting our ass wet. So so we went out there. They have big umbrellas and stuff out on the patio in the backyard of Backyard Ale House. And that place was rocking. I mean, that place was raucous. There was there was this big group of people, like right when you walk out onto the patio. I don't know, must have been 10 of them. And they were all old too. They were like my age. I mean, these were not like people in their 20s. They were completely drunk. I mean, smashed. And there's like classic rock blasting, you know. They're playing, when we walk in, they're playing that Piano Man by Billy Joel. They're all singing along and doing all kinds of hand motions and stuff. It's like, what the hell's this? You know? And we sit down, we find a place. Everything's dry, it's good, you know. Those big umbrellas do a good job. We order some drafts off the their extensive craft beer list. And I went with the what is it, Trogues Field Study IPA. Man, that stuff is, that shit is premium, you know. So, and then I think Tony's sister ordered some kind of wheat beer. Ugh. Not a fan of the wheat beers. Tony got, I don't know what she got. Some Pilsner. It looked like some kind of like amber ale or something. I don't know. Not something I'd choose, but whatever. So then, so we're sitting there, and these people are, like, drunk off their asses, just shouting, and somebody keeps whistling real loud. You know that thing where you put two fingers in your mouth? You know what I'm talking about? Something I can't do. I don't know. I don't know how to do that. But somebody kept doing that, and it was, like, piercing. I was like, what? I said, I feel like going over there and punching that guy in the face. Tony's sister's like, what the? You know, and I mean, it was pissing me off. The thing was so loud and piercing. It was like a tone that just, like, went straight through my brainstem, you know? And so they were, you know, just massively drunk. Old people, you know? And they weren't trashy or anything. They looked like generic, suburban white people, you know, in their 50s. Super smashed. On a Sunday evening in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Then there was this other guy wearing this Bob Marley t-shirt. He was younger. I don't know what his relationship, I don't think he knew them. I think he was smashed too. And he just started interacting with them because they were all smashed together, you know. I don't think he was with them. He was sitting at a different table, but he was constantly interacting with them. He had like some girl with him. She didn't seem as smashed as he was, but, you know. And so this guy in this Bob Marley t-shirt, he's over there yucking it up with these imbeciles. And he starts walking backwards. He thinks he's walking back towards his table, but he walks straight into our table and almost falls right in my lap, you know. Like, I have to catch him to stop him from falling into my lap. And the guy goes, oh, sorry, dude. I'm drunk. I said, yeah, no shit. You know, that's not some kind of news that I need to be delivered. That's not the news. That's not any kind of news that I need to be delivered to me. I was already tapped into that shit, you know. And So he was drunk, but he wasn't like, you know, argumentative or anything. He was a happy drunk. And which I much prefer to the ones that get, you know, the hair trigger. They can go from being happy. You know, those people get drunk and they can be happy 1 second and then just like furious the next. I don't care for that. I was at a party one time. I could, for some reason, I'm able to like hone in on that stuff. Like, we were at a party, my brother and I, in Greensboro many years ago. It's just these guys had this house. I don't know if I told this story, but these guys had this house. Huge, big old giant house, like old, right in the middle of Greensboro. And they had that thing set up. So up in the attic, they had it like painted. I don't know. It was like a dance, like a disco up there. They had a mirror ball up there, and it was all, they had a, like a DJ booth. I mean, the thing was like super elaborate, and they would have these quote attic parties, right? And they had a cash register. I mean, this was like a business. They ran an illegal nightclub out of their house. And it would be maybe like once a month, they would have an attic party. And there'd be signs around town, you know, and advertising it, you know. And it was completely, they had no permits or anything. So you'd pay, you know, whatever. It seems like it was like $7, $5, I don't remember. And they give you, you know how it works. They give you the plastic cup, and then you could just hit the keg as many times as you want. And, people were like, I mean, the place was just full of debauchery and drunken wildness. So there was a hidden room in this house. You had to like climb, like you open the like the linen closet, and you had to crawl in underneath the bottom shelf. You know, the lowest shelf was, I don't know, maybe like 4 feet off the ground, and there was a panel in the back of that thing. You could crawl through there, swing open that panel, and there's a big giant, well, not giant, but there's a sizable room in there, completely hidden. It's like, why is this like this? So, you know, you could go in there, and not very many people knew about it, you know, and you felt like you were doing something cool. You're just basically just drinking in a different space. Anyway, we were at one of those attic parties. And there was this guy that was like drunk, and I could just tell that this guy was one of these hair trigger types, can just vacillate from happy to I want to kick somebody's ass, you know. And I mean, it doesn't take it. I could just tell he's right on the cusp of that transition, you know. And I told my brother, I said, don't make eye contact with this guy over here. I said, don't even look at him. And I said, let's just move out of the room, you know. We don't need to be, the guy's about ready to blow. So he, you know, usually when you tell somebody, don't look over there, immediately they look over, but he maintained. And we exited the room quietly without drawing attention to ourselves. Next thing you know, the guy's going wild in there. And there was this glass coffee table. The thing got crushed, the thing got shattered. He was like, the guy was like fighting somebody in there. And I could just sense it. I could sense the tension in the air. And this guy's like on the verge. I don't like those kind of drunks. This guy in the Bob Marley shirt, he wasn't that type of drunk. He was just a happy goofball, you know. But he was, rip roaring. I mean, on a Sunday at 5 o'clock. It's weird. So the waitress comes over and I said, we order our stuff. And I said, how long these people been here? And she goes, oh, God, they've been here since noon. So they've been drinking for 5 hours. I'm like, I don't know, whatever. Hey, I ordered a cheeseburger, and it was fantastic. That place is great. I mean, if you're in the Scranton area, you know, next time you're, you know, on a Sunday, Saturday afternoon, backyard ale house. It's a rambunctious, well, last time we were there, it wasn't as rambunctious, but it certainly was rocking last night. Check this shit out. I just hit record on my phone while we're sitting there just to give you a, you know, maybe give you an, a sample of the ambiance that we were experiencing while we were waiting for our food. Check it out. Yeah, what do you think about that? I think it sounded like Roxanne by the Police. It's hard to hear the caterwauling. But believe me, they were caterwauling. They had their eyes closed because of the passion. And, you know, putting their hands up in the air like they're on stage, you know, at Carnegie Hall, you know. So, yeah, you can see. It's a very, very low-key place on Sunday night. So, anyway, now Tony and her sister are at Cooper's having lunch. Famous seafood place, you know, Scranton, right on the, you know, right on the ocean, you know, famous seafood place. I'm kidding. Anyway, her sister wants to go to Cooper's because they have she's like obsessed with The Office. Seems very bizarre to me, but you know, she didn't watch it when it was on, but now she watches it on Netflix or whatever. And they have a big gift shop in there, you know, because The Office is set in Scranton. That's why she wants to go down there. So they're having lunch. Asked if I wanted to go. I said, nah, you know, I got to go to work, you know. Whoo, look at the time. So anyway, probably won't see her again. She's going to shove off and head on back down to her house down there in North, or is it South Carolina down there? And anyway, so that I didn't go too bad. What was I going to say? I don't know what the point of that was. But anyway, last night we watched some... She must watch a lot of Netflix. She said, you guys got to watch this John Mulvaney or something. Is that the guy's name? Is a comedian? I don't know if it's John, but you know what I'm saying. Something Mulvaney. Some stand-up thing where he's at Radio City Music Hall. And I was like, oh my God. You know? But we watched it. It was funny. It was really good. So, yeah, it was pleasant. It was a pleasant visit. Quickie, which makes it pleasant. You know, that helps with the pleasantness. So, anyway, that's that. So, now that our neighbors, the half-shirts down there, they're having some kind of pool put in, apparently. They had like an above-ground pool, but it was like really, they had like all this decking built around it. It was really nice. I mean, these above-ground pools are kind of, you know, some of them look like, you know, they can go either way. But they had like, an elaborate deck built around the thing. It was, like, really, you know, as good as it could be as far as the above-ground pools go. But the other, I don't know, a few weeks ago they had that thing torn down and some guy in a Ryder truck came and just, like, took all the parts, you know. Apparently they sold it to the guy. So they disassembled the decking and all, you know, the swimming pool itself, stacked it up. Some guy in a Ryder truck came and picked it up, left with it. Now there's people down there digging up the yard with a backhoe, some kind of backhoe situation. And there's a bunch of vans parked out there from some swimming pool company. So apparently they're having some kind of in-ground pool put in. I don't know. We don't talk, you know. I mentioned this before. I don't. There's tension between us, you know. And many years ago, when we first moved here, we got into it. And this was back when I worked at my old job. So this is 100 years ago. And I was dressed up, getting real loud, you know. I was wearing, like, you know, Dockers, you know, whatever, like, you know, office clothes, getting ready to go to work. We still had a landline back then. We haven't had one of those in many years. Anyway, so they called us, the wife did. It was pouring down the rain. And she's like, I don't know. She goes, our basement is filling up with water. It's because your gutters are pointed in the wrong way, wrong direction. I said, what? I mean, the downspouts, I guess. I said, what do you mean? I said, we haven't changed the way these things are, you know, the direction of them. They're exactly the same way as they've been since presumably since this house was built in 1966. She goes, well, something's changed, and your downspouts are pointed directly at our house. Our basement's filling up with water. We've never had water in our basement before. I said, well, it's not us. How in the hell could you blame? We've done nothing. We've made no changes, you know? So she was on the phone yelling at me. So I got pissed. I ran over there. Like, they live down at the bottom of a, well, it's hard to explain. We're kind of elevated up above them. And there's this, you know, a drop off, and they're down below us. So so I went running over there in my, you know, my slick shoes, the pouring rain, wearing my fancy pants, and I was pissed. I had steam blowing out of my ears. I run over there, and I'm go down there. I was gonna talk to them, you know, face to face, cause I was pissed. And my feet fly out from under me. I go sliding down the hill on my back. And I'm covered in mud. I got mud in my hair and my eyebrows. And packed up my ass. And so I go over there. We're yelling back and forth at each other. And I'm covered in mud. I'm trying to pretend that didn't happen. You know? And I think that was the beginning of it. And that was 100 years ago. So I had the downspouts redirected to the backyard, which is ridiculous. I mean, we're not anywhere near their house. I mean, that is a stretch of an imagination to think that we had something to do with it. We had nothing to do with it. Our house is not, we're not like right beside each other. That water would have to travel a great distance to get into their basement. Bunch of bullshit. So anyway, they hate everything. They hate everything about me. They can't stand me, especially the wife. And they nitpick everything. And they should be happy we don't have, like, pit bulls over here tied to a tree playing Lynyrd Skynyrd, you know. As far as neighbors go, we're pretty easy because we, you know, we're quiet. We stay to ourselves. You know, we don't cause any trouble for anybody. And the yard looks fine. The yard is the problem with them. They're out there raking, you know, with like in the middle of the night. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and the guy's out there raking his yard. I mean, his is like perfect. Ours is fine, but fine is not a good enough for them. So there's a lot of tension. So anyway, they're over there digging up their precious yard, and the thing's weird because they're digging up the backyard, right? And also around the corner of the house. So I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know. Of course, I could go down there and ask them, but that shit's not going to happen. But they're digging up behind the house and around the corner, up the side of their house. It's like, what kind of pool is this? What is this, Dubai? You know, it's really weird. So I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, they're digging up their precious grass. That and they're driving that heavy machinery across the, you know, the front yard and stuff. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But anyway, they're raising a ruckus over there really loud with all that beep beep beep. That drives me insane. You know, when we go somewhere like when we go to like Home Depot or something, or Sam's Club, those employees use those they use walkie-talkies, you know, and they're keyed up to the maximum volume, you know. And there's people just on there having conversations, you know, just real loud, I mean, just piercing. It's almost like that guy whistling the other day at that drunken bar. It's just like, for some reason, the tone of it drives me insane. And whenever you're in one of those places and there's like they're using like a forklift or something, and that beep, beep, man, that makes me crazy. I don't know why. Tony thinks I need to go see a psychiatrist, but I don't know, whatever. But that stuff just, I mean, for some reason it just makes, I just, my entire body just goes rigid, you know? And so now it's happening in our house. I can hear it right now. It might be, you might be able to pick it up on the microphone. I don't know. But I can hear it right as I speak. And so I don't know what they're building. They're building their big Dubai pool over there. I'm sure it'll be fancy. They don't do anything half-assed over there. Everything they do is top-notch. And they hate Jeff K. Well, that's fine. Not losing any sleep over it. But anyway, so that's what's going on. Bring you up to date on that. I don't have any usable calls to the Surf Report hotline. You guys call that thing up if you wanna. Ask me a question and I will answer it in a future episode. And or if you have a comment or if you have a suggestion, you know, I'll react to it. So give me a call, 570-290-8151. That's 570-290-8151, the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast hotline. Just leave a message on there, and, you know, we'll probably use it. There's been one so far that I haven't used. So that's the only one I got in the hopper right now. So I need some fresh comments. So give it a call today. Also, if you want to double down on these Surf Report podcasts, and why in God's name would you not? I mean, why? You can do that easily. It's super simple. Just head on over to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. They call it a patronage. And you're supporting my efforts. It's $4. It'll unlock the audio. You'll get an extra episode every week for your ears only. It's a small little group of folks. The elites, the VIPs, get to hear the Thursday show. And it's exactly like the Monday show, just comes out on a different day. And it's a bonus. It's a thank you for your patronage. So $4 will do it. You can go higher than that if you want. It's up to you. And that's at patreon.com/JeffK. Do it today. And also call my number. Do those two things. Those are your calls to action, as they say. Call my hotline number. Ask me a question. Sign up for a patronage and gain access to an extra show every week. Two instead of one. That's better, right? All right. We're near the end of this thing. I have a question for you. I'll leave you with a question. Tony and I had this discussion. She went and picked up some Chinese food the other day. At my favorite little corner, it's called Sunny. Oh, man, that's good stuff. Sunny Chinese. Man, that shit's good, you know? And the guy calls me Mr. Jeff. And, you know, I go in there all the time. My younger son, who is kind of health conscious, he's like, how many times a week do you go there? Like 4 times? I said, hey, I don't need any judgment, you know? It's no more than 3 times a week, you know? So I go in there all the time. But one day I was getting ready for work. I think she was off or something. I said, if I call in some Sunny, I said, will you go over and pick it up? She said, sure. So she goes over there, and she says, she comes back with the food, and she says, do you tip at the, you know, do you tip that guy? I said, no, I don't. I have a hard, fast rule on the tipping. If I'm sitting down and they bring it to the table, then I tip. If somebody brings something to your house, if they deliver it to you at your house, definitely tip. In those two instances, I do not tip at the counter. That's the line in the sand, you know? If I'm doing all the legwork, if I have to drive over to the store and walk in there and pick it up, all they're doing is like handing it to you, you know? They don't get a tip unless they're just like, you know, do something extra, you know? But that's the way I do it, and I think that's controversial. I mentioned that at the website before. People didn't agree with me. What do you think about that? What do you think about tipping at the counter when you're picking something up? Everybody has a tip jar now, and that's fine. I understand that. You know, I have no issue with it. It's and sometimes I'll drop a buck in there if they're doing something. You know, if I especially enjoy their. You know, like Sunny, like the guy over at Sunny. He's cool. He's funny. You know, And every once in a while, I'll drop a dollar in there. And but generally, it's a no. I don't tip at the counter. So I want to get your opinion on that. We're at the end of this thing. I hope you enjoyed it. I will be back on Thursday over at Patreon, and we'll talk again. See ya. Bye. So, yeah, it was pleasant. It was a pleasant visit. Quickie, which makes it pleasant. You know, that helps with the pleasantness.